Hi, I'm James McDonald, and welcome to another weekend of Bible teaching here at Act Like Men Ministries. Everybody has their pet peeves, don't they? Everybody has the things they like and they don't like, and it's a long-standing, well-known fact that I'm not a big fan of Frank Sinatra. It isn't that I don't love the crooning, though I don't. My wife loves it. It's that one song that I think maybe a lot of people have not really very carefully listened to before. It's called My Way. And the first verse is pretty easy going, you know, but by the time he gets to the end of it, it is a direct assault on the gospel. And I'm going to save that for the message itself. I think the story's in the message, but more importantly is the exposition of Revelation chapter 18. What happens to people who go in uninterrupted through their life without repentance? I did it my way. I did it my way. What happens to people on the my way highway? That's what we're going to be talking about today in Revelation chapter 18. This is a message you could share with someone who needs the warning from God's word. I'll just say it does not work out well. God forgive all of us for our stubbornness. That's not going anywhere good. Here's where the road goes, the my way highway. And get your Bible ready, Revelation chapter 18. Love you. Hope you've been having a good week.
Amen, 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 amen. Where's your Bible? Great. Let's get over to Revelation 18. We're so glad that you're here today. And going to continue this study. Hey, anybody watch those shows, CSI, 48 Hours, Law and Order? Put up your hand if you ever seen one of those shows. Seems like before those shows came along, nobody knew what an autopsy was. Now everybody knows. It's an examination of a corpse to determine the cause of death. Examination of a corpse to determine the cause of death. Revelation chapter 17 was the death of world religion. Revelation chapter 18 is the autopsy. In fact, if you look at Revelation chapter 17, you remember in verse 1 it says, "Come and I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute." That's the picture that God's Spirit chose to describe the world religion, the worship of the Antichrist that will end human history. This false, self-oriented, Antichrist-worshipping religion. It will fall, and it will fall hard. Chapter 18, we learn in the end of chapter 17, it says that they will make the beast desolate and naked. They will devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. The beast will do this to the prostitute, the false religion. God will put it in their hearts to do it until the words of God are fulfilled. Now, verse 18 says, "And the woman that you saw is the great city." He's going to change the analogy. In chapter 17, world religion was a harlot. In chapter 18, it's described as a great city, and the name of the great city is Babylon. Babylon is another picture for the false world religion, the worship of the Antichrist that will end human history. And so here in the autopsy, it's going to be the autopsy of the destruction and the fall of a city. And start with this thought today. False religion. You say, well, what do you mean when you say false religion? Here's what false religion is in all of its forms. False religion is my way. That's what it is. My way. Not God's way. Not God's word's way. My way. What, the way that I want things to be. All right? Now, here in the text, Babylon is a city. It's a region. But it's a picture, as I said, of false religion. And the one common characteristic of all false religion is my way, my priorities, God or not, my plan to God if I choose, my perspective, my God for my agenda invented by me, for me, through me, for myself, to save myself, to satisfy myself. False religion in every form can be summarized in those two words, my way, what I want. I'm driving the car, I'm calling the shots, I'm on the throne, nobody else. That's Buddhism. That's Islam. That's Hinduism. Hinduism. Enlightenment, me on my program, sitting cross-legged, thinking about how I can advance myself. It's all the same in different forms. Study it carefully. False Christianity. is no different. I obey these rules. I go door to door to show God how serious I am. I made up a plan. I'm following it carefully. It's just me reaching up to God on my terms. That's world religion. My way. Now, if you want to find out if somebody's on the My Way program, just stand up for a second here. I'll use you as an example. If you want to find if somebody's on the My Way program, just poke them a little bit, all right? Just poke the guy a little bit. And because here's what I've heard this said. I've heard that if you bump somebody, think about this. If you bump somebody, they spill what they're full of. And most people are full of self. In fact, that's the great quest of following Jesus Christ, is less and less of me, more and more of him. Amen? He must increase, I must decrease. And if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, that's the program we're on, getting free from the vestiges of world religion. How many people can still feel that creeping at the corners of their heart? Me and my way. And you just poke somebody and you'll find out how much of that is still there. I've told this story once before, but it's so appropriate I can't pass by it. Years ago, we had a funeral at the chapel in Rolling Meadows, and I don't know how this happened exactly, but the people that were doing the funeral there weren't especially fond of me or of our church, or I wasn't involved in doing the funeral, but I had to be there, and they showed up, and good people, really, but then one of the family members came in with a boombox and said, yeah, we're going to play this song for the departed family member. We're going to play this song for them as part of the funeral service. And I was like, yeah, I need to know what song that is, you know, because I'm thinking about all of us and what we want to honor God, right? Amen? So I was like, I don't know what that song is. And they said, well, we're going to play that Frank Sinatra song, My Way. So how do you think that went over? Turn to your neighbor and say, not great. Okay, so, yeah. People are like, oh, you're just too harsh. It's just a song. Oh, really? First verse isn't bad, and now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway. And more, much more than this. I did it my way. Regrets? I've had a few. Then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do. I saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way. Now listen to the ego building here. There were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I stood tall, and I did it my way. Like, oh, it still sounds kind of innocent, you think? I'll skip a verse. Listen to the last verse. For what is man? What has he got? If not himself, then he is not. To say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. He's talking about you in that song. You're the one who kneels, aren't you? How many people are? Say, I'm a person who kneels. All right. Not world religion, though. No. Not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows. Now, who do we believe took the blows? Tell me who. Jesus. Lift up your voice. Who took the blows?
Jesus.
Right. Not here, though. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Yes, it was my way. Now, that is the song they sing in hell, okay? You should hate that song, okay? That is everything we don't believe. That is taking friends and family members and people we love, following all forms of false religion, which are really just a shroud for the only one false religion, which is my way. Revelation chapter 18 is the fall of my way. It's going to be a good day. In fact, that's the first main thought here in the text. We're going to begin in Revelation 18, verse 1. My way will have a great fall. A great fall. It says, notice, after this I saw, every time he says after this, that's a new scene in the vision. After this I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority. So this is another one of the seven angels probably that brought the final seven bowls of God's judgment. In chapter 17, verse 1, it says, one of the angels who had the seven bowls came to me. And then in chapter 18, another angel. So here's another one of the ones that brought God's judgment, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. So he'd been in God's presence. He was shining with the glory of God. And verse 2, he called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen, fallen." Remember in the Hebrew and in the Greek, in this time period when a word is repeated, it's for emphasis. So not just fallen. Not just fallen. Fallen, fallen. As in hard, with finality. What appeared as though it could never happen has happened. The people who live by my way, what I want, what I need, what I choose, what I prefer, what seems so successful and unstoppable and invincible is going to come down with a crash. As we say, the bigger they are, and it's going to come down hard. This, my way, no one tells me, I'm in charge. Jesus, me, that's what's in charge. It's going to come down. You've noticed that, haven't you? It's always in the newspapers, things that seem so invincible, so untouchable. I had so many names, I could have written down Bernie Madoff, Whitney Houston, O.J. Simpson, Ted Haggard, people who swaggered and thought, I could do what I'm going to do. I'm going to get away with it. I can escape the laws of drug abuse, financial stealing, lack of integrity in ministry, whatever it is. I can escape the consequences. And then, boom, they fall. And when they fall fast and hard. And the world religion of which they are all a part, and by God's grace, everyone say, by God's grace, we have been freed from the religion of self. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. Remember, rooted in the Tower of Babel, the first false religion. She has become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean, detestable beast, where the residents are sealed in their wickedness. Fallen, fallen into hell itself. Verse 3. For all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality. Interesting, that statement is neither about wine nor about immorality. It's about, except as they are consuming intoxicating sins. It's a picture. When it says that in regard to self, me on the throne, what I want, not God, not God's word, it's an intoxicating thing. It's a addicting thing, like alcohol, like adultery. That's why it says, all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is a very, very powerful consuming sin. See it, think it, want it, and in a matter of hours, in a matter of days, want it again. When we dwell on desire, I've taught before, yielding is a matter of time. If you dwell on desire, it will pull you in like a tractor beam. Alcohol's the same way. I take a lot of teasing, even abuse at times, from people about my position on total abstinence. I stand by it. Nothing good comes from alcohol. Nothing good. Starts off, well, it's just a glass, and then it's a glass every day. And then it's a glass every day to take the edge off, and then it's a couple of glasses, and then it's, I need it to get through the day. Sexual immorality and alcohol are both strongly addicting behavior substance. And here they're used as pictures of what world religion does. What self, my way, does. That is a, look up here, that is a consuming, addictive way of living. And those of you who have found Christ personally know that even after your sins are forgiven, even after you've received the free gift of eternal life, and I hope you've done that, and if you haven't done that, you should do that today. Turn from your sin and receive Christ by faith for your forgiveness. Even after you make that decision, the pattern of selfish, sinful thinking is, it takes days and weeks and months and years to get free from that. That's how powerful it is. Verse 3, again, for all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living. My way will have a great fall, a great fall. And Jesus talked about the man who built his house on the sand, and when the rains came, the house fell, and great was its fall. The fall of foolishness, I have this verse underlined, circled, and starred in my Bible, and I have it written out again on a post-it note in my Bible beside the verse that I underlined and starred and circled. The important verse, ready? Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. If we could bring up 10 or 100 or 1,000 people caught up in the only world religion in all of its forms, the elevation of self, they would all testify to the rightness of their path and the foolishness of that which you are pursuing. Time will tell. Time will tell. You're like, well, what to do? What to do with this? This is, it's all around us. Correct. Here's the second thing. My way must be separated from. Then I heard another voice. It doesn't mention an angel. This could be the voice of Christ himself. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Come out of what? Come out of Babylon. Come out of world religion. Come out of selfish, me on the throne living. Come out of it. My way must be separated from. Come out of her, my people. Why? Because it's contagious, that's why. Lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. As stated already, the sin of self-made, self-directed, self-satisfying living is more contagious than measles or malaria. If you live with people who are selfish, your first inclination is to be selfish in return. If you work with people who are selfish, your first inclination is to be selfish in return. Love is you before me. I'll take care of your needs, you take care of my needs. The first thing that happens when we face a selfish person is we observe that they're taking care of their self, and the first thing that occurs to me is, who's taking care of me? If I take care of them too, they'll be taken care of twice, and I'll be taken care of, hold up the universal symbol, I'll be taken care of no times. It's very contagious, and it's also very prevalent. Notice in the text, for her sins are heaped, verse 5, high as the heavens. This is everywhere. So, say that. Say, this is everywhere. Do you agree? This is everywhere. This is the air that we breathe. This is the sea that we're swimming in. We are swimming in a sea of Babylon, selfishness. My way. Because of its prevalence, it's more common than cars on the freeway, more common than cans on the shelf. It's the air we believe. It's the default setting on every heart. It's the sinful bent of every soul. My way is the satanic secret ingredient in all world religion, devastating to every relationship, to every marriage, to every parenting and sibling relationship, to every neighbor and friend and employee. Verse 5, for her sins are heaped high as the heavens, and God has remembered her iniquities. Check this. Pay her back as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she mixed. In the end, those who have forced you and I to drink their selfishness will drink double. An autopsy of my way. My way will have a great fall. My way must be separated from. Verse 7, as she glorified herself and lived in luxury, so give her a like measure of torment and mourning. Like she did, give it back to her, which is a biblical basis, though this isn't in Scripture. It's talked about in Scripture many times. We would say, what goes around comes around. There it is. It's coming back. Since in her heart, she says, I sit as a queen. I am a queen. I am a king. I am filled with pride, and no one can tell me anything. I am no widow, as in I have no grief. Mourning I shall never see. For this reason, her plagues will come in a single day. God says, you think you're so big? It's not even going to take long to take you down. A single day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire. How's that? For mighty is the Lord God who has judged her. It's going to come down, and it's going to come down fast. And so our response needs to be to separate from that. To separate from that. Everywhere that you see selfishness, everywhere that you sense selfishness in yourself and others, be on guard. That there's only two real faiths in the world. Faith in the one true God who revealed himself in his Son, Jesus Christ, and all self-styled, man-made, reaching up to God in all of its forms, on all of its continents, satanic in its origin. And the North American version doesn't even pretend to have a false, ethereal God up there. It's just straight out humanism. Me, my way. At least in some countries, they sort of cloak it with yoga or something. But it's still the same thing. And it must be separated from. Here's the third thing. Turn the page. We're into verse 9 now. My way leads to endless mourning, M-O-U-R-N, grieving. The text says mourning. My way leads to endless mourning for the godless. When what you have given yourself to comes crashing down, the response is visceral and vitriolic. Do you get that? I mean, when what you've given yourself to is, look at verse 9. And the kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her will weep and wail over her when they see the smoke of her burning. They're going to be like, we gave ourselves to this. And when it comes crashing down all around them, it says they will weep and wail over her. People don't take defeat very well. Hey, speaking of that, I told you I was going to go to the Blackhawks game, right? We went to the Blackhawks game in Philadelphia because I've been waiting 50 years for this championship. I told you last week about how my dad sort of ingrained this into me, totally brainwashed me, and put it into my heart to love the Blackhawks before I could even talk or walk. I had that part figured out. So I went to the... with some friends to the game in Philadelphia because I didn't want to take a chance of missing it because the next time it happens 50 years from now, I'm going to be, you know, in heaven or whatever. So I got there and one of the guys who was with us, anyway, just watch this interview if you didn't see it.
Thank you, Ryan, and I am ready to handle the cup myself with kid gloves. Big angry Flyer fan here, right? Check it out. And this is actor Pastor James McDonald, so we got the big guy on our side tonight as well. JR, we'll see you later.
I love it. That's great. Kudos to number 20 there. Thank you, Mark, and thank you, big fella. Briefly in sports, the Sox host the Tigers at the Cell tonight with Freddie Garcia.
Is that ridiculous? Big fella. Oh, my goodness. That is ridiculous. So anyway, I had been warned about the Philadelphia fans, but nothing could prepare me for, I mean, it was unbelievable. I heard more awful, evil, wicked, in-your-face things yelled at us. It was really pretty stunning. At one point, the guy was like so in my face screaming things I could never repeat that I just kind of put my hand on his shoulder and I said, dude, we're Americans, okay? It's a game. And I think there was enough alcohol there that he wasn't able quite to figure out what I was trying to tell him. But it was bad. After the game, we went down and kind of to get closer for the presentation of the cup and everything. We went down close by the boards, and one of the guys with me recognized a friend from Chicago who was covered in blood. His two front teeth were knocked out. I said, "What happened?" He said, "I guess there some guy just went crazy and he saw me and with my jersey on and just." Now, if that's how a group of people respond to a game, everyone say it's a game. It's a game. It's a game. I want you just to try to imagine, extrapolate what the response is going to be when self and my way and I don't need Jesus and the Bible is nothing and it's going to work out for me and I'm going to have a great time in hell. I'll be so busy shaking hands. When all of that comes crashing to the ground, they will weep and wail over her when they see the smoke of her burning. They will stand far off in fear of her torment and say, "Alas, alas, you great city, you mighty city, Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment has come." Not in a day even. It happened on a day, but it wasn't a whole day. It was just a what? In a single hour. All of these God-rejecting, self on the throne, my way people. And the Bible says that he will destroy them with the breath of his mouth. Is all it will take. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her, since no one buys their cargo anymore. Cargo of gold and silver and jewels, pearls, fine linen, purple cloth, silk, scarlet cloth, all kinds of scented wood, all kinds of articles of ivory, all kinds of articles of costly wood and bronze and iron and marble. This is just an inventorying of fine things. Cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots and slaves, that is, human souls. If you ever wondered what God thinks about slavery, there it is. Human souls. Wow. The fruit for which your soul longed has gone from you, and all your delicacies and you live for things, you had the things, nothing else matters, and they are lost to you. Never, check that, verse 14, never to be found again. When it's too late, it's too late. You mortgaged everything for happiness, and now you don't even have that. Do you ever play the game Monopoly? Put it behind you if you play Monopoly. Love Monopoly. I'll take you on sometime. Worst part of Monopoly is you get your street built up, and you get your houses and everything. You get to the hotel stage. You get it all built up, and then you start... bad roll, bad roll, bad roll. Start landing on the other guy all the time, all the time. Then you got to sell your hotels. Then you got to sell your houses. The worst part comes when you got to flip over your card and it says mortgaged. And compared to what you paid for it, what you get for it is like this. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. Go watch TV. Okay? You're going to lose now. And a lot of people in this world have mortgaged eternity for a few moments on the deck with their friends, for a few moments in a seedy motel, for a few moments alone with their private sensuality. And it's going to fall hard when it falls. Endless mourning for the godless, for in a single hour. Verse 15, the merchants of these wares who gained wealth from her will stand far off in fear of her torment, weeping and mourning aloud. Alas, alas, for the great city that was clothed in fine linen. Manhattan, Rodeo Drive, Hollywood, London, Paris, Tokyo, in purple and scarlet. Now they're getting back into... I want you just to think about some of the great centers of world religion in our world. The meccas of each my way religion, including false Christianity. And I want you to think about their palaces and their artwork and their streets paved with gold. That was their heaven. Notice purple, scarlet, adorned with gold, with jewels, with pearls. In a single hour, all this wealth has been laid waste. And the shipmasters and the seafaring men and the sailors and all whose trade is on the sea stood far off. Everyone who profited from the economy of self, my way. And they cried out as they saw the smoke of her burning, what city was like this great city? And they threw dust on their heads as they wept and mourned, crying out, alas, alas, for the great city where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth. It's so obvious what this is talking about. About what else could this be said? What little point in the economy could be being referenced? This is what everything relies upon, what every Super Bowl commercial fuels. Me and my pleasure and my way, what I want. For in a single hour, she has been laid waste. The grief will stream like a great river, flowing with regret, notice, but not with repentance. There is not a word of repentance here. There is not a word of it. Listen, Christian, every choice that you've made to stay pure in your singleness and in your marriage, every choice that you've made to be truthful in the marketplace, even when it's cost you money, every choice that you've made to be faithful to your spouse, to be generous to your church with your time and your resources, every righteous choice that you made will reward you in plenty that day. And every selfish choice that we've made will seem so foolish. Well, this is going to be a great day for us. My way leads to endless mourning for the godless, but notice this. My way ends with rejoicing among God's way people. A great thing to say about a person, isn't it? You're kind of a God's way guy, aren't you? Just want to be a God's way person in everything. Well, here, you finally make the story here. You finally make the scene. Verse 20, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints. If you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, you're a saint. The day you got saved, you were a saint. Saints aren't guys with statues. You don't walk upstairs on your knees and kiss the feet of statues that are saints. That's not what saints are. Every epistle of Paul begins with these words, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the saints who are in Philippi, to the saints who are in Ephesus, to the saints who are in Galatia, to the saints who are in Colossae. If you're here, if you're sitting beside a follower of Jesus Christ, just turn to them and say, you're a saint. You're a saint, okay? You're a saint. How about that? Say, yeah, I am having a good day today. All right? But here's the thing, okay? Your righteousness is not your own. Paul said that I may be found in him, imputed righteousness. The righteousness of Christ applied to you. That's what salvation is. Not that you've seen the bumper sticker, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. And God sees you through the righteousness of his son, Jesus Christ. Paul said that I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but that which comes through faith in him. And so there's nothing to boast about. There's no basis for pride. Your standing before God is granted to you by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that the gospel? And so you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and that's the basis upon which you're in this text. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, they were the foundation of the church, Ephesians 2:20. And why should I rejoice? Rejoice over her. The picture here is of the fallen giant, world religion like a big corpse, Babylon, the city in ruins, the body is laying there. It's over. I mean, this is like, I told you what's happening next week, right? Jesus comes back next week, which, by the way, wouldn't it be awesome if he came back right while we were preaching about him? I mean, all in favor, say aye. Okay, that would be great. That would be great if Christ came back right while we were preaching about his second coming. I could go. But this week, these are the final moments of human history. Jesus is up and heading toward the white horse. He may already be saddled up. And so in this moment, we're exhorted, rejoice over her, you saints, For God has given judgment for you against her. God has given judgment for you against her. If you've ever wondered, you know, did God keep track of those things that were done to me? Did God keep track of those things that were said about me? Did God keep track of the way I was treated and what I had to swallow to try to honor him and what I had to let go and what I had to get over? Did God keep track of that? What's the answer? Yes. The answer is absolutely yes. And in this day, God will take not only down the people who did that, but the system that drove and controlled their thinking. God has given judgment for you against her. A lot of people are going to be excited on that day. A lot of people. One of the people that I've been really grieved for in recent years is Sarah Palin. Kathy had a chance to meet her a couple of weeks ago. Here's a picture of them. Check this out. Kathy was introduced to her. This is Kathy McDonald, James McDonald's husband, and Kathy was tickled to hear her kind of sing the Walk in the Word theme song. I guess that's on a couple of times a day in Alaska. But here's a woman who, I mean, what did she do? She loves God. She's unashamed about her faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not saying she could or should be president, but I'm saying she's a really great person. And I'm telling you, the moment she left being a great governor, giving herself for the state of Alaska, and the moment she left that, the My Way machine vilified her with false accusations, scurrilous innuendo, disgusting, shameful attacks. Kathy read a whole book about it. And I use her story as an example of what so many of you have experienced in so many ways. What up with that? Well, here it is. Rejoice over her, saints. God has given judgment for you against her. Notice it's in the past tense, God has given. And the idea is that it's so certain that as you sit here, it's so certain it's like it's already happened. So gather up all those things about which you've been taught recently to forgive and remind yourself afresh today that in every matter of injustice and ill treatment and abuse that you've experienced, every false accusation, all of it is going to come crashing down. And you're like, well, I don't know how to feel about that. Feel this way. Rejoice about it. The text tells us, look forward to that. And Paul said, it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. That's one of my favorite verses. It is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. You are going to score front row seats to the greatest defeat the world has ever seen. Notice this finally. My way ends with finality and justice. With finality and justice. When I was a kid, one of the things I loved to do, loved to do, was to throw rocks in the lake. And one of the families that we were very close to when I was little, three boys in our family at that time, three boys in their family, and our families were very close, went to church together, went to school together. Our fathers took us out to this campground, and I remember this as clear as I could. We were picking up rocks. Did you do this when you were a kid? Picking up rocks, and I mean, not like skipping them like you do on a date or something. I mean, when you're a dopey little kid, we were picking up these big rocks and throwing them in. And of course, with six boys there playing the same game, we were all looking for the biggest rock. And so I remember kind of climbing up this steep hill, and they were all down below me, and I found this massive rock that I was going to throw into the water. And I remember hauling back. I was probably 4 or 5 years old, but this was a horrific moment. Hauling back to throw this and launching it out toward the lake. When it was here, I was excited. When it was here, I was concerned that it wasn't going to make the water. When it was here, I knew it wasn't going to make the water, and I was already running back to the tent thinking about what was going to happen to me when my dad found out that I crashed it right into the head of one of my friends. He fell down and went in the water, and I got into so much trouble. Anyway, that's the story that came to mind when I read this verse. Because notice here, this angel is going to make the water with this rock. Notice, then a mighty angel took up a stone like a millstone and threw it into the sea. Think with me for a minute, you especially those of you who have developed a knowledge of God's word. What comes to mind when you hear, what kind of stone did he throw into the sea? A millstone, a millstone. Jesus said in Matthew 18, he's calling the little children to him. He said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. A childlikeness, a willingness to trust and believe. And then he said, whoever humbles himself like this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin. I don't think he's talking about children anymore. He's talking about all the ones who had childlike faith. And whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, you take one of God's creations, humanity. You take a man or a woman and you turn them out of the way. You get them off the course. You drive them away from the God who can save them. It'd be better for you if you had a great millstone fastened around your neck and you were drowned in the depth of the sea. If you've done that to someone, if you're here and you're right with God, but there's someone that you have driven away from the faith, and you haven't done whatever it is within your power to make that right, that is a very serious offense in God's eyes. And here we see those who have given their lives to doing that to people. False religion. The mighty angel took a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon the Great be thrown down with violence and will be no more. And the sound of harpists and musicians, of flute players and trumpeters, yeah. All the musicians are going to be out of work. No dancing in hell, okay? You're like, hey, play that song again. I'm really like, no. We'll be heard no more. And a craftsman of any craft will be found in you no more. No more making God out of wood. And the sound of the mill will be heard in you no more. No joy of productivity, only futility. And the light of a lamp will shine in you no more. No light, only darkness in hell. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride will be heard in you no more. Who's the bridegroom? Christ, correct. The bridegroom is Jesus Christ many, many, many times in Scripture. And the bride is? It's the church. The bride is the church. And those who have spent their life saying, I don't want to hear from the bridegroom. I don't want to hear from the bride. You don't talk to me about that anymore. They'll beg to hear the voice. They'll plead to hear what they so callously and cavalierly rejected. But the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will be heard in you no more. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. Here, take this millstone and walk off the end of the dock. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, false religion being the main source of the persecution of God's way. And all who have been slain on the earth, every murderous intent, who is murdered without the source cause being my way, what I want? Murder rampant in Chicago these days. I remember years ago reading about one particular murder in Chicago after Kathy and I just moved here. I was shocked. The story in the paper was two people in an apartment, an uncle and a nephew, and the one says, turn the TV down. Turn, no, yes, turn it down. No, yes. And the one who insisted just picked up the gun and shot the other one. I mean, when my way is ruling in your heart, that is closer and closer to insanity. It's what's tearing apart every marriage. It's what's destroying every employer-employee relationship. It is sourced by the God of all false religion, by Satan himself, and it is going to end with finality and justice. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. So if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, this would be a great time to get on the winning team. Turn from your sin, embrace Jesus Christ by faith. You can be forgiven and receive the free gift of eternal life. Amen? Amen. And if you've made that decision, bow with me in a word of prayer, and let me just ask you, five questions to evaluate. Why don't you just go ahead, and when you bow your head, you kind of look inside, and let me just ask you these five questions. You know me well enough to know I've asked myself these questions. Number one, who calls the shots in your life? Who makes the important decisions? Is it you or is it the Lord? I will go here, I will do this. I will go into town, I will buy and sell. Don't you know that your life is a vapor that appears for a little while and is gone? Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. James 4 says, who calls the shots in your life? Secondly, when what you want is different than what God wants or what God's word says, who wins? Every person here will face opportunity, desire this week that will be in conflict with what God wants. When what God wants and what you want come into conflict, I want to hold that grudge. God wants me to forgive. I want to look at that. God wants me to look away. I want to have that. God says to be content with what I have. When God's way and your way come into conflict, who wins? Here's the third question. What area of your life is it hardest for you to give God control? What area of your life is it hardest for you not to be selfish about? You may be sitting very near someone who has felt the sting of your selfishness. Is it hardest for you to humble yourself and just say, I was wrong, I'm so sorry. I'm so selfish, please forgive me. Is it hard for you to do that? What area is hardest for you? Is it your finances? Hardest for me to let God be in control of that. Is it your sexuality? Hardest for me to let God be in control of that. It is a particular relationship. Hardest for me to give up my way and go with God's way. Four. What road leads to a better place for your life? The broad road? Bumper to bumper with my way people? Or the narrow road with just a few going God's way? What road's the best way? What road's the right way? What road will you choose or choose afresh? In fact, that's the fifth question. Will you today surrender afresh to God's way for your life? God's way in every way, in every area of my life. Let me just pray. Father, forgive me who knows so well your way for choosing my way. Just pray with me. Forgive me, Lord, for the injury that my way causes to others. Forgive me, Lord, for my stubbornness. Heal my blindness. I've been this way so long, I don't always even see it. Take my life today while there's time, while I care. Take my life. Take my heart.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald podcast, where the learning is for loving, loving God, and for loving others more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. Check out jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.